Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about the social credit system. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Well, this is scary.
This is one of the more terrifying things we've discussed.
Yes.
Yeah, so which is saying a lot because we've made a lot of commentary on U.S. politics lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So quick, this the TLDR, the headline, Big Data Meets Big Brother as China Moves to Rate Its Citizens. This is an article from Wired that dear listener sent in. Thank you very much. And I got to say, when I read it, I had a fight or flight reaction.
Like I did too.
An actual biological or physiological reaction to this article. And I think it's a little bit, because we're American and we have this kind of reaction to this sort of thing. We're, I think, extra predisposed to it. But man, this is, I think the scariest part about this is that it seems so obvious that this would happen. Mm-hmm. When you read about, you're like, oh, this is inevitable. So do you want to, I don't know, can you kind of, do you want to outline a little bit like what the concept is?
Yeah, I think the concept is to take everything you do in life, be it online, offline, whether you pay your bills on time, what kind of illicit videos you check out from the video rental store that, okay, that no longer exists, but, you know, that sort of thing, basically just monitor all of your activity and decisions you make and physical health and all of that sort of thing and create from that this aggregate score that is essentially your value, kind of your value as a person, but I think they're trying to spin it more as a score that rates how much people can trust you.
Yeah, the trustworthiness score. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing, first of all, there are things in the U.S. that are sort of precursors or like glimpses of this that have been around for a long time, like
yeah, so it's credit like score on steroids.
Yeah, and. But imagine that the government makes deals. Imagine in the U.S. the government made a sort of backroom deal or behind the scenes server side deal with Google, Facebook, Amazon, maybe Apple, Pandora, Spotify,
all these Stripe. Health record companies.
Did they talk about health records too?
Yeah, they talked about health records too.
So all of this stuff, but from the back end. So this is like, you know, if you're annoyed by browser cookies following you around the internet and like sharing information about, and so they can retarget ads to you about, you know, like, oh, sign up for MoonClerk. I'm already a MoonClerk customer. So you find that annoying? Just wait.
Yeah. Wait until whether or not you can get a job is based off of what you bought off Amazon last week.
Right. So there's two sides to this that are freaky. One is that they're, you know, in China, and I guess this is going to be mandatory by 2020, which is only like 2 years away.
Yeah.
And let's not forget PayPal and all the other payment things, Apple Pay, wallet. Right. So everything. Yeah. So one of the people in the article referred to it as on life. So the blurring of your real life and online life, mm-hmm. So digital and meat space, kind cyberspace and meat space kind of finishing the blur into like one big thing.
Yeah, there would be no separation at that point.
Yeah, no meaningful separation. So and then you've got this gigantic single control point that's aggregating all of this information, running it through some proprietary opaque algorithms that no one knows, you know, no one knows about, and returning a trustworthiness score. Okay, so that's like, you can see that. You can see that in credit scores. You can see that in the newest version of the Uber app. Well, I guess it's been around for a while where the you know, drivers, same thing with Airbnb. The seller and the buyer can rate each other.
I mean, even years ago, like you've been able to rate people on eBay and, oh, you know, not to buy from someone with a low rating on eBay, you know? Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I think the massive efficiency, the combination of efficiency and government scares me. Like, I feel like if government should not be very efficient, it should be deliberative and slow. Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating, but that's also a big safety mechanism. So,
yeah, it's why we weren't panicking about net neutrality last week.
Exactly. So this is I feel like it's just so okay. So you get this trustworthiness score. That's one thing. So you know you could imagine I could imagine people like there was one behaving like this one story from a restaurant Oh my God, words. There's a story about a restaurant who despised Yelp. And I think for good reason. Yelp has a reputation for strong-arming people into, you know, they sort of emailing you all the time like, hey, it'd be a terrible thing if your ratings went down, wouldn't it? You know, and then they try to sell you ads to get your, you know, ratings. It'd be terrible if you fell off the front page, huh? So this one restaurant said, you know, flipped them the bird and went on a campaign to be the worst rated restaurant on Yelp, which was hilarious and got them tons of good press. And it kind of called out, it sort of tweaked Yelp, like called out how really, you know,
yeah,
manipulative, how easy it is to manipulate the ratings and that it's not completely baloney. Of course, I find Yelp ratings somewhat useful, but I take them with a grain of salt.
Right.
So to speak. So if you imagine that, that all of that gets aggregated into one thing and it's assigned to you as a single score, that's horrifying as well. But you got this single score, but you can imagine someone gaming it and be like, ah, you know, flipping the bird to the government. Ha ha. I'm going to have the worst trustworthiness score in mm-hmm. China. And like, won't that be funny? And I'll probably be on the news and, oh, what did you have to do to destroy your ratings like that? And it'd be so funny. Ha ha ha. And that would perhaps be fine until you see the other side of the equation, which is what a bad trustworthiness score versus a good trustworthiness score, how those will affect you and sort of follow you around.
Yeah. Like if you go into the negatives, are you going to get arrested?
I mean, this has pre-crime written all over it.
It does.
But okay. But maybe that wouldn't happen, but it's so things like so if your number goes down, mm-hmm. that you get penalized in all sorts of ways that make it hard for it to get back up. So
yeah,
like,
that's a good point. I mean, they're talking about like basing whether or not you can get a job on this number. And like, if you can't get a job, you can't pay your bills and your number's going to go down more. And it's just, you know, you just,
yes. And then you
dig into a hole.
Yeah. You get more and more desperate and you're going to be less and less trustworthy. Probably. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I can imagine you know, the situation where like, I don't know, you're in a car accident, you end up in the hospital, you don't pay some bills because you're in there and you come out, your score's down, your health is compromised. Maybe it was your fault, you know, not drunk perhaps, but maybe it was your fault. Mm-hmm. You get some kind of like life thing happens and none of that story is going to show up in a, you know, in your 400.
In your number, right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a 400. It takes all the story out of all the nuance, all the context out of anything that extenuating circumstances, let's call right. it, which does remove the possibility for BSing somebody, you know, like going and trying to get a bank loan and BSing somebody about, you know, oh, well, I was in hospital and or conning someone. But it seems so. Yeah, I recognize that there's two sides to it, but it does seem like you could get onto a, you know, quote unquote, or perhaps not air quotes, death spiral pretty easily.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And it, I don't know. It just like, it removes a very important human element to like, you know, I want how much I trust someone to be based on my interactions with them. I don't, and you know, maybe then, yeah, also if it's someone I'm going to hire, then maybe I'm going to check references and talk to their previous employers and stuff like that. But it's all going to be based on the opinions and experiences of other people versus some arbitrary number that the government has cooked up for them. And I feel like that's an important thing.
Yeah. So there, Kevin Kelly has a sort of soapbox about this. He's like, look, this is privacy is already gone. This is just not going to get, we're not going to go back to privacy. Mm-hmm. But there is an upside, which is that you can watch the watchers because presumably, although this is not the case in China, presumably anybody who worked in government would also have one of these scores.
Right.
So it could theoretically work to your advantage. If people trusted it the way they trust credit scores, which is the same lumped in number devoid of any context, and made, you know, your credit score can affect important things, not maybe not nowhere near as critical as the stuff that China is going to penalize you with, but you know, it's,
yeah, it can affect things like your ability to buy a home.
Yeah. And it can be a pain if it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I dealt with that last year, straightening out mistakes and things. And it was a mess.
Yeah. That's happened to me too, where like, they're like, oh, you know, some loan that my ex-wife had or that was still on, you know, it's like, hang on a second. And never mind like the Equifax breach, but okay. So he's like, you know, this does, if it cuts both ways, it might not be the worst thing in the world, because if you imagine a village scenario where you've got 100-150 people back in more a simpler time, stuff like this, you know, your behavior would follow you forever. Like, you weren't going to go outside of that tribe most likely. And if you did something wrong, it was, no one was going to forget. Like, that was going to be a fact. That was going to be a thing that happened, a thing that you did. But there's so much context. Everybody would know the whole story.
Right.
And it would go full circle. It would be, you know, whoever the elders were would be held to that same standard, because that's probably how they got to the position in the first place. Like, everybody knows the history. And if this feels like an attempt at creating that sort of a dynamic. But I think that Kevin Kelly's right, that it's to me, it's less scary if it's universal. Like, there is not a human being who doesn't have one of these things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
like, oh, it doesn't apply to us, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it scales, because like you said, you're not going to have that history. And to just suddenly 2 years from now, like 1.3 billion people in communist China have this score. I don't know, the government decided upon score. I don't know, just it's a scary combination to be testing this proof of concept social rating system for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1.something billion people. A couple of things that would make me feel a little bit better about this would be, you know, because they referred to like, well, you know, there's already every citizen in China already has this permanent record that follows them around. That's been a joke in the US, you know, oh, it's going to go on your permanent record, you know, going through the school system. It would make me feel, one thing that would make me feel better about this is if there was no exceptions to the rule, like everybody had it, like they have a social security number in the US. Not that everybody in the US has a social security number, but you get my point.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And the other thing that would make me feel better about this is if you could drill into the score if you wanted to.
Right. Like if you could just browse the history.
Yeah. And we have to invoke it. Blockchain. That's what blockchain is. It's a distributed database with immutable records.
Yeah. It's funny. I had the exact same thought as soon as I saw the title of the article.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It's like blockchain.
Right. Like, this is a great example of... that would make me trust it a lot more, because it's transparency. Like, you'd be able to see the story behind the number and be like, okay, you know, I get, this person got dealt a bad hand, or
it's like, oh, and you dropped to a 380, but you were a 760 last month. So,
but that's not how this is happening. Like, the way that this is happening is it's completely hidden, the you know, algorithm,
like the magic math behind it.
The magic math is not clear. It's not open source. I think that those things make it way worse for me. And I'm surprised to hear myself say this, but I would still not be cool with this, but I do believe it's inevitable. So I think I'd be a heck of a lot cooler with it if it was like a blockchain style distributed, decentralized, permanent record that, you know, everybody could. That's still bad. There's a lot of reasons why that's bad, but I'd like
it
a lot
less bad.
It's a lot less bad.
Yeah, it's not nearly as ominous and I mean, it's still big brothery, but it's like, you know, you have multiple siblings instead of just the one big brother. So hopefully hopefully one of them will have your back. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I don't know. Do you see this? Do you see something like this? Let's say it's 10 years from now and China's been doing this and it's not turned out horribly for them? Do you see this sort of thing spreading to, you know, beyond China? Do you see this as being a thing other governments would adapt over time, or just people in general, or like a big company coming in and aggregating all of your social media scores? And
right, I have a hard time imagining that happening in the US from a top down standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's really hard for me to imagine governments making this happen in the US, the US government making this happen. Right. Maybe some other countries, but it's just so anti the core American thing. However, okay, that said, I do believe that we'll do it to ourselves somehow.
Yeah, I was already going to say, look at businesses like Clout.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
Yeah, I think Clout gives you sort of an aggregate score based on your various social media accounts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I remember that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like in a certain regard, between Facebook, Google, and Amazon in particular, less so Apple, but between those three, if they decided to share data behind the scenes, that would be it. That it would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I don't see it having a government mandate a lot of places, but I could, like you said, I could see us doing it to ourselves. Yeah. And I could see these big companies coming up with this thing and saying, oh, we're going to aggregate all this data. And here's your little profile page on the internet that says you're ranking in various things. And I can see, you know, companies beginning to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I believe, I'm not making this up, there have been cases of people, of TSA agents demanding to see people's social media accounts on their
right,
phones.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and I can also see situations where people are like, let me see, or judging people based on their social media scores, so to speak, you know, like how many followers you have on Twitter, that, of course that happens. How many friends you have on Facebook, I'm trying to think of a Google example. I guess I can't think of a Google example. YouTube. Okay. So it would be YouTube stuff. So you could say like, oh, you know, I'm only going to do business with,
it's like, oh, this, you know, yeah, someone who has
help for people. Like, there's an app called People, PEEPL, I think it's spelled, mm-hmm. where people can just sort of in general rate each other the way that you would. If you've taken an Uber, for example.
Right. Like leaving an Amazon product review.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that there will be a de facto proxy that that will come from a private company where people, that somehow aggregates all of the existing social cues that we have. Because so much of this stuff is public. The thing that is still private for the most part, as far as we know, is
email.
Google. Yeah, I was going to say Google search history, but yeah, I would lump email in there with it. Email's a little bit more public because someone else has the secret, so they could leak it.
True. I was thinking like instant messenger chats and Slack chats and that sort of stuff too. But again, again, the data is all there and could be aggregated.
Mm-hmm. So I saw this talk, we'll link to it in the show notes, but I think I mentioned Scott Galloway on the last show also.
Yeah.
But he's on a tear right now because he just released a book and it's on the New York Times bestseller list. And he really is smart. He's really good and he's fun to watch. So I saw this, he did a TED talk talking about the four big companies and the parts of your torso that they align with. So he's like, Google is starting at the top, Google's your brain. That's the all seeing, all knowing our father. Mm-hmm. Will my kid be okay? You know, it's prayer almost. Like when you have a question, a big, big question,
you go to Max Jesus.
It's like, that's, anyway, so that's that. And then heart was Facebook, where you know, that's sort of the proxy for relationships,
like sharing and
love,
yeah.
and sharing, and, you know, mostly through images where we have sort of empathetic reaction to photos that other people are sharing. Stomach was Amazon.
Because it's all the stuff you need.
Yep, all the consumption stuff. And genitals was Apple. because that's all of the sexy, the luxury. And he holds up his watch and he goes, see this watch? Presumably it was expensive. You'll see this watch? I haven't wound it in 2 years. The reason I wear it is because it says to females that, mating with me, you're probably going to have a better life than if you mate with someone wearing a Swatch watch. And he's right. Like that boils it down, and you take those four, but see Apple, he's talking about Apple's business model there. Apple doesn't have that. Other than the possibility of Apple Pay, which really hasn't caught on that much. It's still very, very low usage wise, adoption wise. Mm-hmm. So they've got some data, but nothing compared to Google. This is why I started talking about it. Cause he's like, imagine, dear listener, everything you've ever searched for in a big long list and your face at the top of it. That's like, that becomes your profile. Every single search query you've ever executed.
I have searched for some not bad amoral things, but I have searched for some really, really strange things.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, I can't even imagine what that list looks like, but I promise you they have it.
Yeah.
So imagine if was like...
Oh, like there's been times where I've wanted to search for something and it's just been embarrassingly weird. it's like about some rash or something.
Oh, totally.
So I'm like, I'm going to search for this in an incognito window, but I know Google still has this data, but at least no one else in my house will see that I searched for it.
Yeah. Can you imagine the image search data they have? What's this? Yeah. So I don't know. So, we have no easy answers here, but it's like Uber ratings, Airbnb ratings, Yelp ratings, Amazon review, product review ratings, podcast ratings, which, dear listener, mm-hmm. if you went to iTunes and rated us 5.
Yeah. Help out our social credit score here.
Yeah. Like it's here already, but it's very patchworky and not.
People are gonna start buying reviews to boost their social credit scores, and become artificially inflated.
Yeah. And they said in the article, they're like, they were already envisioning a rich ecosystem of SCS, social credit score consultants, mm-hmm. and counselors and trainers, and it's sort of like SEO but for your social credit score and all of the. I'm sure that's inevitable. I'm sure that'll happen. It's funny because another thing that Kevin Kelly talks about all the time, and I have a tendency to agree with him, I believe that he's right about many things, is that, of course, he's not the only person who says this, but he says all the time, look, the most popular technology in 20 years, probably a huge percentage of the jobs in 20 years, they don't even exist yet.
Right.
We have no idea what they are. So like if you go back in time and you're like said to a farmer, farming, when farming was like the biggest slice of employment.
It's like, right. Like, I work in search engine optimization. It's like, what?
They wouldn't even have the capacity to process the words.
Right.
Like I understood one word out of that sentence,
Search. Yeah.
Yeah. So that looks like the kind of thing, like SCS mm-hmm. counselor.
Yeah. Like, and
what is that?
It's yeah. And in fact, if you want to see a fictional take on this, that is, I don't believe involves government, but it is still just a very fun episode of a show we often mention. And that is Black Mirror. The first episode of season 3 addresses essentially this in sort of a social context, and like everyone has a social rating and decisions and about their lives and social interactions are made based on that. And one of the girls in the episode like goes to a social rating consultant. It's like, how can I boost my number and that sort of thing. And it's, I don't believe you've seen this episode yet, but it's good. It's the first episode of season 3.
Every time I think, oh, I've got a half an hour, I should watch Black Mirror. I'm like, I can't, because the show freaks me out so bad. And it gives me almost not nightmares, but it gives me that nightmare feeling. So many of the episodes have just made me feel like all creeped out and depressed that I can't bring myself to watch it anymore. But I should check it out. I really should, because it's perfect for the kind of stuff we talk about. I mean, they're so on every episode I've seen is just so crazy on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know if I think we got a couple of good links for the show notes. So, you know, the Galloway video, the link to Nosedive, which is the episode of Black Mirror, and of course, the Wired article.
Wired article, yeah.
So folks, check those out. Let us know what you think. We could probably, is there anything we missed out? Should we leave it there for this week?
No, I think we leave it there this week. And it just that I find it disturbing. Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, thanks for listening. We hope you join us next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.